Good morning. My name is Anna Arlova. I am a moderator for this session. I'm executive director of the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, and I'm very pleased to welcome you all to this exciting session, which is one of those public health domains that are part of the Meaningful Use Initiatives. And we will hear today from two presenters who are very much involved in making syndromic surveillance to become a success. We will hear from Charlie Ishikawa and from Nikolai Lipsky, our presenters. Let me read you from the script that I was provided just about our presenters. Charlie Ishikawa is an associate director of public health programs for the International Society for Disease Surveillance. He is epidemiologist, public health planner, and educator who is for more than 10 years worked at the local, regional, and national level on public health preparedness and public health surveillance programs. With the International Society for Disease Surveillance, he manages the distributed community of practice. He facilitates the community of practice annual sprint meetings and advises the society on national surveillance policy issues, including meaningful use and implementations of BioSense version 2.0. In 2004, Charlie was awarded with the 18th Seller Macron Award by the Georgia Public Health Association and the Georgia Division of Public Health for an outstanding work in epidemiology and public health preparedness. Charlie, do you want to add anything to this list?
Oh, no, that's pretty thorough. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Anna. All right, excellent. Hi, good morning, everyone. Right on. All right, this is great. Everyone's had their coffee and is ready to go. So as Anna said, my name is Charlie Ishikawa with the International Society for Disease Surveillance. And what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is ISDS's work in the area of meaningful use, specifically a recommendation that we made for syndromic surveillance. What I'm going to do is I'm going to provide you a little bit of background, sort of, you know, remind us what meaningful use is, where syndromic surveillance sits in that vision, all to set us up for me talking about the process we used to come up with the recommendation, and then providing a high-level overview of what the recommendation contains. And all of this is to set up Nikolai's presentation, which is going to be very focused on FIN, the guide, and its tools. Good? Sounds good to everyone? All right, excellent. So, background on meaningful use. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the International Society for Disease Surveillance, we are a group of people, of professionals, who have been together now for 9+ years, interested in disease surveillance. Our mission is this: to improve population health by advancing the science and practice of surveillance, to support timely and effective prevention and response. So we facilitate interdisciplinary collaboration, promotion, research, education, and advocacy. We have a number of activities that we host to support that mission. One of them is ISDS's annual conference. Perhaps by a show of hands, could I see if any of you have been to the ISDS conference in the past? Excellent, very good. So we've been hosting that conference for many years now, and it's been the premier location for exchanging ideas about surveillance methods using electronic data sources. And electronic health records has been a very big part of that, and syndromic surveillance methods have been a very big part of that conversation. We also have, through our members, a syndromic 101 training that we provide, which is basic, sort of the basics of what syndromic surveillance is. We've recently partnered with NACHO to provide this training online for free. We do two other things that I'd like to highlight. One of them is the Distribute Project, which is a project for sharing ILI syndromic information from state and local health departments at a central location. This data is available weekly and publicly. And also, meaningful use. And speaking of meaningful use, let's talk about meaningful use. So I like to remind myself, and I think it's good to remind all of ourselves, that the meaningful use programs are really all from the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, ARRA, 2009. So under ARRA, the federal government provided a number of investments to support critical infrastructure, modernization, and development, all with the idea that this was going to, you know, sort of kickstart our economy. One of the sections of ARA is called the Health Information for Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health, HITECH, the HITECH Act. And under the HITECH Act, we have meaningful use. The EHR incentive programs that are pushing the adoption and modernization of electronic health records. One of those, this is one of the points I wanted to make with the last slide. One of the things that meaningful use is doing is supporting public health surveillance, specifically in the area of syndromic surveillance. And that's what I'm focusing on today. That's what we are focusing on today. So just to remind you all, as if we all needed a reminder, meaningful use is laid out to occur in three stages. The first stage we're in right now, which is all about setting up the basis for data capture and sharing to support meaningful use. The second stage then builds upon the first, with data being captured and shared for meaningful use. The next thing is to advance the clinical processes involved in providing care to patients. Then upon that, we should see improved healthcare measures in the population. This is how I like to think about meaningful use in sort of like a broad picture of what meaningful use is trying to do. So here we have a depiction of, I think this is called the information pyramid. So on the top, there's wisdom. Right? So imagine that that's a health director speaking to their board, working on policy. Policy examples such as, during the pandemic, when should we close schools? How should we modify clinical procedures? Policy decisions like this. All are supported upon knowledge that is gained through working with the community or working with staff on interventions, or developing event and situation reports about what's happening in the population. Now, both of those things, that knowledge, is supported upon the information that's acquired through surveillance analyses and relationships with providers. And beneath that is the data that's collected. So you see here that I've got this completely like non-computer version of the world. We've got our public health epidemiologist there in the yellow layer, speaking on headphones. And we have a patient there in the clinical box speaking to a health provider. The idea behind meaningful use, as I like to think about it, is basically this. The insertion of technology, information technology, into that workflow. The idea being that this is going to enhance both the availability of the information as well as how quickly the information is going to be available, so that we can have more informed public health practice decisions at event management level or situation awareness, which will lead to better policy. Now, in meaningful use stage one, we have syndromic surveillance. So one of the questions that occurred to me is when syndromic surveillance showed up is, well, why syndromic surveillance? Well, the world that I have depicted right there with epidemiology work occurring upon clinical data for suspect case identification, trend monitoring, or hypothesis testing is really kind of a future world. By and large, the one thing that does on a routine basis utilize electronic data, I mean routine as in daily or even, you know, within a week, is syndromic surveillance, which draws upon electronic health records from an emergency department, when we're speaking of clinical data, the emergency departments by and large, and then provides those analyses to support response management and event and situation reporting. So why not go with a model that's already in place with public health? Hence syndromic surveillance associated with meaningful use, as I like to think about it and understand it. Now, the problem with that, when we think back to 2009 and some of the events that led up to ISPS getting involved with meaningful use, is that syndromic surveillance relative to other surveillance practices, such as, you know, notifiable case reporting or perhaps immunization, is a fairly new science. It's been developing very rapidly over the past decade, and ISDS has been involved in that conversation. So, it being a relatively new science, there are a whole lot of diverse practices when it comes to the sorts of data that are collected from a clinical encounter, how those data are packaged into a message and then transported to public health for use in surveillance. So when you approach this problem of a diverse field of practice, and you want to do something like meaningful use, which sets up certification standards for EHRs, it's a fairly difficult thing to do. And sure enough, in 2010, in July, the final rule that came out for syndromic surveillance was inappropriate to contemporary practices of syndromic surveillance. Specifically, it specified case reporting as the business model to support syndromic surveillance, which, for those of you who do syndromic surveillance, know that that's not exactly going to work. It's kind of like taking the hose of data that you need for syndromic surveillance and turning it down to a trickle. So there we were in 2010, essentially without a standard for what the encounter data that were going to be collected, the message format that was needed to be sent in, and then also a clear description of how syndromic surveillance is currently practiced in health departments. And this is where ISDS stepped in. So in August and July of 2010, really under the leadership of a few key people who I'd like to mention, Michael Coletta, David Buckridge, Julia Gunn, and Bryant Karras, got together and wanted to produce a recommendation to address this gap in what was needed for syndromic surveillance. Working with the CDC BioSense program, we responded, we had the financial resources and the relationship to the CDC to really have something happen, although very quickly. So we set out on putting together a work group, and I'll show you the people in the work, who are in the work group in just a minute, to do these things. Clarify what the meaningful use rule is for syndromic surveillance, or should be, recommend something. Support PHA's participation in meaningful use by doing that. Provide a contemporary picture of the practice, and then also recommend a minimum set of standards for data transfer and for what data need to be captured. These are the people who were in the work group, which included folks from local and state health departments from across the country who with expertise in syndromic surveillance, as well as our partners from the CDC, Public Health Surveillance Program Office, and the Public Health Informatics and Technology Program Office. The process we used was this, let's see if this zooms up. This is, and you know what, I'm not even gonna chance it because I don't know how to go backwards. We're okay, I think. Yeah. So what we did is we convened in August in a partnership with HLN Consulting, defined first a set of minimum data, then backed into figuring out what the business processes were, then revisited that set of data to make sure that the data support the business processes. We gathered feedback from stakeholders informally through this whole time, and then formally during a two-week period in December, we began our collaboration with the FIN network in developing the messaging guide for syndromic surveillance, which Nikolai will be talking to you about, revised the recommendation and provided it to the CDC at the end of December. There are three versions that are out there, a provisional, a preliminary, a provisional, and a final. If you have any of these versions, focus on the final version. It changed a lot over the 3 months. All right. Speaking of the data set, there was work done, and there is work that was done prior to the work of ISDS on this issue. And it was done by folks such as AHIC, NHIN, HITSBI. So all of those recommendations, all of those documents were referred to, and what was done was we tried to pursue what is the common data elements across all of these existing standards to come up with something small and minimum and core. We then presented that to the work group, and that was the basis for the work that we did moving forward with the data elements. It was a consensus-driven development process, so people within the work group needed to agree in order for us to reach any decisions to move forward, as well as stakeholder input had to more or less harmonize with the scope of what we were trying to do. During the comment stakeholder period, we received comments from 41 stakeholders, 20% of those, so a good portion of those, were on behalf of professional associations such as CSTE and NACHO, and corporations or professional organizations like EHRA. So a brief overview of the recommendation. This is cover. The scope of the recommendation is on, so those of you who know, syndromic surveillance draws upon many different data sources. Since this is a recommendation to support meaningful use, its scope is on clinical data. So I have here, this diagram has like, you know, each bubble represents the variety of different data sources that are used in syndromic surveillance. So 911 call center data is up there, poison control is up there, a whole bunch of stuff is up there. The one highlighted is ED and urgent care. That's the scope of the recommendation. The reason being is that's where the field of practice has more or less reached agreement about what the best practices are. Work with acute care data has very well been integrated into practice, and lots of developments have been made in that area. So that's the focus. The surveillance goal is much broader than what was previously documented, being like, you know, the sort of case identification, case finding kind of thing, but really the broader use of syndromic surveillance for all hazard situation awareness. So there are a number of use cases that are detailed in the document. And finally, there's some message and vocabulary standards, and all of those are like done in HL7 because that is what the rule is specifies for meaningful use. So, in addressing, you know, this gap of knowledge, what we essentially did is we looked at these two things: what the encounter data are and what the business processes are. Now, it's always nice when the technology supports the business. So, what we laid out here is three core business processes to which the data elements, the core data elements, need to support. The first one is performing syndrome-based surveillance. The second one is establishing a new data source. And the third one is monitoring data quality. Now, earlier this summer, I've done similar talks on this topic, and I've actually put up our workflows for this thing, and everybody kind of like falls asleep or glazes over. So I haven't done that this time. But I highly recommend that you go and look at the recommendation because it provides really excellent documentation for a sort of generalized process for how syndrome-based surveillance is done, how the practice of establishing a new data source is done by a health department. So you can sort of see the stages of like testing and then you know, going prime time with the data source, as well as monitoring data quality, which is an under-discussed but essential part of surveillance. And then the encounter data that's supported is, and the numbers with the R's and the O's are actually wrong, is 32 elements, and they fall into four types: treatment or facility ID, de-identified patient demographics, health indicators about the patient, and then sending facility identifiers. All told, there are 32 data elements, 9 of which are required, as in required in HL7 speak. Let me see here, I think it's like 13 of which are required but can be sent empty, and all of the others are optional. I think Nikolai's presentation will provide some detail on that. And that is what I told you I would talk to you about. So to learn more about the recommendation and what ISDS has done, I highly recommend that you go to syndromic.org/meaningful-use. There you can download a copy of the final recommendation as well as the previous iteration. So I really, you know, think you should pay attention to the final one. As well as we received a lot of comments on the recommendation during the 2-week comment period. And leading up to that as well. And we did produce a response to those comments, and you can find a link to those comments on that webpage as well. It looks like that document there on the right. And this is me. Feel free to contact me at any time. I hope this was helpful to you.